Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Tech News Today for Monday, November 8th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and Voice Activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com and by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is a show about technology.
Oh.
It's not all for show.
Right. Well,
it's today's
mostly
show.
Mostly for show.
It's today's show about technology.
A lot of posturing.
If you want tech news today, then you need to download it quickly after it's published.
I will do my best to make sure that.
But we try to get hot tech news so fresh that it's still tech news tomorrow.
It's like the farmer's market of tech.
It is. Right. It's like organic, free range. Picked mm-hmm. this morning.
Yep.
Just picked this one
right
this morning.
Plucked it off a tree.
Google Chrome is sponsoring free holiday Wi-Fi again.
So how does this work? Because you can already get Wi-Fi on planes, but never for free.
Right. AirTran, Delta, and Virgin America offer GoGo in-flight Wi-Fi. Yeah. So how this works is Google pays the bill.
Sweet.
Yeah. From November 20th through January 2nd.
Now, is this just one of these Google things where it's like, thanks, Google, that's really rad of you, because so many people obviously have to fly for the holidays and sometimes really long distances? Or I guess they also get people comfortable with using it, so then they will definitely buy it the next time they fly across country.
I think it's...
Because once you go Wi-Fi on a plane, you will never not go Wi-Fi if
that's
available.
What they say. I think it's...
Well, I can tell you. It's true. You don't go back.
Yeah. Everybody knows that one.
I think it's because they want to push Google Chrome. They're like, this will get Google Chrome in front of people who use browsers, obviously, or else they probably wouldn't be taking advantage of the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And we'll be able to say, hey, want a real browser? Which is what they say when you log in. Get Google Chrome.
Well, I use it already, but I would love to take advantage of the free Wi-Fi, so thanks in advance.
I wonder what they think of Melt Rock. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
You mean rock melt?
I mean rock face. I mean melt face.
Melt? I don't know. I don't even know what's right anymore.
Windows Phone 7 is right on sale in the United States. You can get the HTC HD7, the HTC Surround, or the Samsung Focus all for $200. Man, I knew they were like being strict about all these phones had to have similar underpinnings. You know, it's like same processor and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize they all had to have the exact same price.
Well, you can get them for different prices, too. I mean, the Dell Mobility Store has them listed as low as $150.
Which is funny, because the Venue Pro is Dell's actual phone that they make, and that one's not listed yet, because that one's not out yet.
Oh. Hmm. Supposedly, you can get one of them for just $100 over at Amazon Wireless as well. So that could be kind of
cool. I'm
not
planning on getting any of them, but I am planning on playing with them at the GT party on Friday.
And
in San Francisco. That'll be the first time I'll have seen Windows 7 phones.
Well, if you come in tomorrow, Leo may have his, because he went and stood in line this morning, you know, first day.
Yeah.
Went and went to the local AT&T store to pick up. I think he got the Focus, the Samsung Focus.
Lines around the block?
You know, they don't do that with the Microsoft.
Oh, they're no. Not, they just kind of...
He took a picture of the AT&T store and it was empty.
Oh.
Yeah. The umbrellas weren't even open. Like, there was no one sitting at the tables.
It doesn't mean the phone umbrellas. Isn't going to sell. It's just they don't.
It's not an event.
It's not
the
that
way
kind
that
of a thing.
Right.
Right. They're not out there looking for attention. Everybody look at me. We've got a new phone. Also, they're not like the only place to get it.
Yeah.
Right. It's made by several different manufacturers. It's on T-Mobile as well as AT&T. So it's not one point of sale. Now, coincidentally, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer disclosed in an SEC filing Friday that he sold off $1.34 billion worth of stock. That means he just, like, that's like going to the ATM for Steve Ballmer, right? Like, I need to pick up $1.34 billion for the weekend. I guess I'll sell some stock.
It was only 49.3 million shares, but it's cool. It's cool because he's got like another 358.9 million to go.
It's a very small amount of what he owns. And But it's also like, it's probably for tax purposes because there's this capital gains tax that supposedly next year, you know, you have
Bill
to pay
Gates
more.
Did the same thing. He sold 3 million shares.
So yeah, I'm sure it's
got
a
like
financial...
$617 million to go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a financial decision, I would assume. But it is kind of weird timing because we're just going into a holiday season and they got the Kinect, which is hot. Windows Phone 7 is supposed to be a big hit.
Well, because everybody's going to read this today when Windows Phone 7 came out. And even though you're absolutely right, there's no connection between Windows Phone 7 or Kinect and this, which is clearly a capital gains tax move, like you said, everybody's going to make the joke. Everybody's going to go, oh, I guess you don't have any faith in your country. And they both said, this has nothing to do with our faith in the company. It's just a tax move.
I'm not going really anywhere.
Maybe he's just making a withdrawal because he wants to buy a Kinect and a WinPhone 7 for everyone, you know?
Right. It's this Christmas
stocking gift. Yeah, exactly. Stocking stuffer.
I mean, he gets an employee discount, but he's still got to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a lot of people who've been very, very good this year. New browser Rock Melt is out in beta.
Rock Melt.
Yeah,
that's
that is the actual name of this.
Okay.
It is backed by, among others, Mark Andreessen of Netscape fame. And it's essentially Google Chrome with some add-ons that make
mostly
it all socially.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're talking about like Flock, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Flock is to Firefox. Rock Melt is to Google Chrome.
Gotcha. But Google Chrome already has like 1,271 Facebook extensions. I mean, why don't you just...
But these are the right ones.
Oh, these are the right
ones? These are the ones you want.
And they're baked right in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tasty.
And it's on a deprecated version of Chrome 6, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you want that because it's... I mean, it's no longer open source either.
It's hardened.
Hardened?
Yeah,
without
the tested.
Yeah. And they don't release the source code of it either, so you know it's good.
Rock Melt...
Rock Melt seems to be really good for people who like Facebook to be heavily integrated into their browsing experience. I mean, Tom and I were talking before the show. Neither of us really use Facebook chat. A lot of people do, though. I mean, that could be really helpful. You know, some of this is like, well, it's not right for me, but it does keep me from having to have like a Twitter tab open if I like,
yeah, I like
to use
that.
The web
yeah.
interface. Right. And it's an easy way to share stuff with my Twitter or Facebook friends right from the browser.
No, I agree. If you live on Facebook, it's a nice little add-on.
Well, and not just Facebook. I mean, you can add over on the right-hand rail.
You can add the Twitter.
You can also add any feed if you want.
Yeah, just, news feeds, RSS feeds.
Yeah, so you can customize it. It's not just Facebook and Twitter.
But you can do that already.
With
add-ons.
Chrome extensions.
With extensions.
Yeah.
The problem with these sorts of things is like, you know, you mentioned that it's, you know, it's backed by Mark Andreessen. So it's like, ooh, well, he's smart. It must be good. And it's like, sometimes I think that takes more precedent over the actual... I'm not saying this isn't a good product, but it's kind of like, hey, a person who's had a good track record has funded this project.
Yeah.
It should get a lot of attention. I look at it and go, this is cool, but I mean, it's not going to replace my Chrome experience.
Yeah, I know a guy who really liked Flock. Mm-hmm. His name's Jason. Do you still use Flock? You were really into it for a while.
Yeah, I was into it for a while, but I don't know. I just... kind of fell out of the way. You know, it really didn't hold it for me. I think in the earlier part of when Flock was first released, I was like, well, that's a really good idea. I do a lot of things that are social and it makes sense for it to be built in. But I found other ways that just did it better. And I kind of got the same kind of feeling from Rock Melt too. It's kind of like I opened it and yeah, it's cool. It's nifty that it's built in, but I actually kind of like using TweetDeck. And
most
it's
everything
more
I liked,
powerful.
Most everything I liked about Rock Melt, I like about Chrome. It wasn't particularly Rock Melt.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea of having my Twitter feed like pop out from the side.
But you get that with add-ons.
Yeah, that's the thing I feel about this is if you could do the same thing with extensions, why would you want to use a fork of Chrome?
Yeah, I feel the same way about my hair. If I can do the same thing with extensions, why would I want to use a fork?
It's also so customized that it's like
you can imagine
hopping on to like a public computer somewhere and just being like, oh, I don't have my Rock Melt. This is also, you know, it's nice to have a sort of a standardized browsing experience.
Although maybe a public terminal could have Rock Melt installed and then
you
could log in on Facebook. You just remember to log off when you're not.
In the world in the not too distant future, Rock Melt will be everywhere, including public libraries.
Well, we have to call it Rock Melt because that's proven very difficult so far.
Yeah.
We call it Face Melt, Rock Face.
Rockport.
Melt.
Rock Flock.
Melt Rock. It's just a curious
Robot
name. I'd
rock.
Love to know the backstory.
Well, one name that has a very long and storied backstory is Ford, and they're helping to sponsor this episode of Tech News Today. Ford and voice-activated sync allow us to drive hands-free. You know, you want to make phone calls on your mobile phone. There was a guy driving in front of me today making a phone call on his mobile phone. Had it right up to his head.
You're not supposed to do that.
All over the place. You want to play music or podcast. You want to flip through your music. You want to find that place in your audiobook. Maybe skip a chapter. You want to also keep your eyes on the road while you do this. Now, maybe I'm an over-safe driver because I don't touch any of that stuff while I'm in my car, but I don't have a Ford with voice-activated sync like Leo does. Leo's able to send text messages, receive text messages, play around with his – make actual calls, just call people over his Bluetooth cell phone because he's got Ford voice-activated sync. It's true hands-free calling, and it also includes turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist. So if you need directions, you just tell it. I need to go this place, and it starts speaking the directions to you. You don't ever have to touch anything to do this. 911 Assist will call 911 automatically if the airbags deploy. Sync is available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles, and you can find it at SyncMyRidePodcast.com. If you want to find out a little more about it, we thank Ford for their support. On to the Navy, the Royal Navy. The sun never sets on the British Empire, but apparently their websites can still get hacked. The British Royal Navy's website was suspended after a Romanian hacker exploited a SQL injection. Wow. SQL injection, Royal Navy? Really? And a hacker named Tincode, who's making a name for himself with lots of these sorts of hacks, accessed usernames and passwords used by the site admins and published them on the web.
Yeah, he got the /etc/passwd file, as well as dropping the tables for a bunch of WordPress stuff and some admin logins. Now, the WordPress stuff is actually related to a blog called JackSpeak, which the Royal Navy runs for members of the Navy to actually just go ahead and blog about like what it is to be a member of the Navy. Looking through the Pastebin stuff here, like the actual release from this, and I got to say that the sexiest thing in it, though, is the naughty woman ASCII art at the end, not necessarily
naked
the,
lady ASCII art.
Yeah, not necessarily the MD5 hashes here of the logins.
You it's know. Just, I mean, everybody's. This is sounds like an eminently preventable hack.
Yes,
and kind of like a tee-hee rather than a malicious.
Yeah. Right, the guy didn't do anything with
he's
the password.
He's kind of just saying, right, he could have been malicious. You forgot yeah. to do.
Yeah, and you know, some say that this is egg on their face and quite embarrassing because they just made a stand about it, or the Ministry of Defense just last month proclaiming that cyber attacks were declared as the nation's highest security strength and such a high priority for the UK national security. So, but we're talking about a little web server here that run a blog.
Yep.
So,
it wasn't one of those carriers that's jointly run by France and the UK. Cats and dogs sleeping together there.
They
just hooked up.
Yeah, I think so.
The French and Royal Navy.
Uh-oh.
They're doing joint missions.
Mm.
Crazy stuff. All right. Article in the Wall Street Journal says that AOL and Yahoo are making more noises together. AOL has apparently hired unnamed advisors to carry out all kinds of complex deals. Kara Swisher at All Things D's having nothing. She says this probably just the deal makers trying to gin up some banker fees. But we did see a report from Reuters right before we came downstairs that AOL has tapped Bank of America to explore strategic options. So at least one of these helpers has been named. Yahoo's got Goldman Sachs on their side. Allen & Company is apparently helping AOL. Obviously, both of these companies want to do a deal with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's a match made in heaven, since nobody else seems to want to do a deal with either one of them.
These stories are so confusing to me, though, because it's like, okay, so the Wall Street Journal says, hey, both sides are in talks. Yahoo's trying to make sure they're not taken over, hostile takeover. And then Kara Swisher at All Things D goes, no, I know all about this. That's not even true. And they work for the same, I mean, Wall Street Journal and All Things D are both News Corp. So it's like, well, okay, so they're not talking to each other. And then Reuters is like, well, no, we've got information. So it's like, I read respected journalists telling me different things, and it's just confusing and annoying.
Well, you know how that goes, right? When you're in the meeting where they've said exactly what's going on, usually it's not very definitive. I remember this from back when Tech TV was undergoing negotiations to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a bank. And they were right. making explorations. And I was in the meetings where they're like, well, Sony's really interested and looks like it's going to happen, but they have to take it back to Japan. And meanwhile, Fox has come in and they're looking through the books, but we don't think they're really all that interested. who ended up buying it? It was Comcast in the end.
Yeah.
So we're hearing the echo chamber version of that meeting,
exactly.
Which is, hey, now, Tim, I can't say this on the record, but, you know, I got a friend over at Yahoo. I think we could get a meeting. And then that stuff gets leaked out.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I do think that AOL and Yahoo should merge. I don't think AOL can afford it, but there is a lot of talk in here that Alibaba would buy out the Asian part of Yahoo, which would bring down the price quite a bit and make it possible for a Yahoo AOL merger domestically.
Sounds a lot easier.
That would make more sense.
That would make more sense. Also in businessy news, another thing that just broke right before we came on, Oracle has allegedly, according to Reuters, hired a private eye to track down on the lamb HP CEO Leo Apotheker.
Where in the world is HP CEO Leo Apotheker?
Where in the world is... They should install that on all HP computers that you buy. Oracle had subpoenaed Apotheker in their suit with SAP because Apotheker used to work for SAP. They can't serve him, though, because they don't know where he is, and HP's not saying where he is. They think he may be wary of taking the stand, probably because he doesn't seem to know a lot about what went on at SAP during this time, and they think that Oracle's just harassing him.
Mm.
Maybe he's just on vacation.
Like, oh, that was a great time.
HP's like, we don't need to tell
Tahiti.
You. He needs to chill out. We said that we wouldn't bother him during this week, okay? We're not going to tell you where he is.
Yeah.
He's on vacation.
It's like when you call
he deserves this.
Any
Come
important
on.
Person, like, no, I really need to talk to him. Mr. Apotheker is unavailable. he will call you back next week.
It just sounds like Oracle needs to get some faster servers.
Oh, get it? We'll see what All he did right. there. SAP spokesman Bill Wohl said the interest in Mr. Apotheker on the part of Mr. Ellison of Oracle only happened recently as a result of Leo's appointment to run HP. Also, Ellison taking the stand. I think it's either today or tomorrow. So, you know, Larry Ellison, he says some batshit crazy stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This ought to be fun.
Beep.
Color is coming to e-ink screens on Tuesday at the FPD International 2010 trade show. A Chinese company announced they will sell color displays using technology from e-ink. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Sony, y'all can buy some e-ink displays now and put them in your e-readers. Do we want this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's the natural evolution. I mean, you look at any device, it eventually goes from black and white to color. Why not e-ink?
But the Sonys and the Amazons say e-ink in color is not quite there yet because it's a color filter that makes the colors muted.
Well,
we're
I mean,
not ready yet.
It's definitely going to be difficult to make the technology look great. I mean, when you think about what it is, those little beads that like rotate and stuff magnetically so that they don't draw any power, I can't imagine that you're going to get great fidelity out of this, even if it's just like CGA. I went there.
The technology is amazing, but at the same time, when you have LCD screens that display beautiful, vibrant color, you don't want e-ink in color to, you know, people to look at it and go, oh, that doesn't look quite right.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you want it to be.
It's kind of like, what is your priority? Because the common, you know, complaint with like the iPad or whatever is that when you're in direct sunlight, it can be very hard to read.
And
so are you willing to have dimmed color, like a desaturated color, but in longer battery life, you know, like, is that really important to you?
And if I so, think if it's just great. Some color but, illustrations, some graphs and stuff, that's great. But it's not going to be able to give you video,
right.
Which books can't either most
True.
Of the time. And it's not going to be able to give you really brilliant photography, which books can give you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good
advance.
But it'll
be nice in those places where you want something to be, you know, underlined in blue or whatever it may be, you know, make it stand out, some like a hyperlink or something in a book. I don't know.
I guess it kind of comes back around to, will ebooks ever be really valuable as they are in what limited version that they are, or kind of what they are right now is that they can only do one thing very well. Does that mean that over time, this is the type of technology that gets rolled into ebooks and ebooks just kind of, I don't know, get cheaper and that's just how it is?
Well, that's the great thing about this is if all the, you know, big companies are like, oh, we have to have the, you know, the new color e-ink stuff, well, then that makes the price of the black and white stuff go lower. And like you said, like it's a device that does something great. It does reading books great and everything else kind of, you know, hit or miss here and there. But at the end of the day, if just the foundation of like, you know, like e-ink displays gets slower, then you could just pop them on anything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
Right.
Microsoft's Kinect has apparently been hacked already. We told you last week about Adafruit's $1,000 bounty, which after we reported on the story, they upped to $2,000. And apparently someone has already unlocked it. Alex P. over at the Nui Group Community Forums has posted a video that appears to show the Kinect being controlled via a standard PC interface. That's all we know so far. Adafruit says that, yes, they have received the information about this, and it looks like a winner. So we'll wait to confirm that for sure. But the idea here with the Kinect, right, is being able to use it on other stuff.
Yeah, like homebrew 3D modeling. That could be fun stuff.
Robots.
You know? Robots are good, too.
Yeah, any kind of, imagine if you could put this inside of a robot, and the robot could see the way the Kinect does and recognize people and react to them that way. It's good stuff. So thanks to Adafruit for pushing for this.
You could use it as home security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, it'd be huge as home security.
Yeah.
No word if Microsoft will crack down on it. They have said that they will work with law enforcement and product safety groups to keep the Kinect tamper resistant.
Oh, okay.
I imagine that's because the price of the Kinect is premised on the sale of games.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Microsoft. You're selling a piece of hardware. As soon as that hardware is out of your hands, it's no longer your concern what somebody does with it. Sure, I understand that you want to recoup the cost by selling some games.
Sadly,
but
though, in our current legal climate, it's not as cut and dried as that.
What do you mean? It totally is.
What if I'm breaking copyright protection in order to create the driver? Then I'm violating the DMCA and suddenly I'm in legal trouble.
No, you know that that at the end of the day, the Library of Congress is going to come to your defense with an exception. For you doing some cool stuff, just like unlocking.
Well, I got to wait for the Library of Congress to ride to my aid first, though.
Well, who else is? It's the DMCA we're talking about here.
Yeah. All right. We want to also take a break and thank our other sponsor, Audible.com, a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. You, just for being listening to us right now, get a free audiobook.
Yay.
Yeah.
You get an audiobook.
And you get an audiobook.
And you get an audiobook. Under your seat. It's an audiobook, so there won't be anything there.
I'm listening to The Sword in the Stone. Well, actually, I'm not listening to The Sword in the Stone anymore. I'm listening to The Ill-Made Knight and The Candle in the Wind, part three of The Once and Future King by T.H. White. You just finished up The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, the movie.
Yes.
Would you read the book? Have you read the book?
No, I haven't read any of them. And now that I've seen the complete movie trilogy... I'm going to go back and read.
So there's
because
another,
the movies were so good. I have to assume the books are even better.
Another idea. You got a book that you would recommend folks?
No, but I'm thinking about checking this out because I got a 3,000-mile drive ahead of me.
It is perfect for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually sometimes I dread getting in the car until I remember that I have the audiobook to listen to, and then I get excited because I want to find out what happens next.
I got to load it up.
So check it out, and don't forget you can actually get magazines. You can get Scientific American read to you. As an audible.com. You can get the New York Times, Wall Street Journal read to you. Check it out. Audiblepodcast.com/TNT is the way to get the free book. Time now for the news fuse. Warning. Nexus One may be getting Android 2.3, a.k.a. Gingerbread, in the next few days. TechCrunch points out that Alvaro Fuentes Vasquez, one of the leadership team of the Open Handset Alliance, posted on Twitter in Spanish, "Prepare your Nexus One developer version for Android over-the-air update 2.3 Gingerbread in the next few days." Ooh, very exciting.
Guess what? Verizon has an unlimited text and data plan for just $70 a month. So to get it, you have to be emailed the secretive plan. Otherwise, you're going to be denied.
Oh.
The plan rings up as Verizon's existing $60 talk and text plan and its $30 unlimited data plan with a $20 credit applied to each bill every month. Still, it's worth checking your junk mailbox if you're an existing subscriber to make sure that you didn't miss anything.
Or call and beg. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Check this out. Amazon just announced that it's reached an agreement to acquire Quidsy, which operates e-commerce sites like diapers.com, soap.com, and beautybar.com. Amazon says it's throwing down approximately $500 million in cash to buy up all of Quidsy's stock. And like Zappos and Woot before, Amazon will allow Quidsy to go ahead and continue to run independently of Amazon, just like they were before.
Cheap diapers with your DVDs.
As long as they don't change diapers.com, because we use it all the time.
Yeah, no changing diapers.
No.
Well, they don't want to change diapers.
Basically,
Amazon says we're not changing diapers. Yeah.
This morning, the Symbian Foundation announced it will scale back to just being responsible for managing Symbian licensing. Nokia will take over the development of the platform while continuing to make it available under an alternative open model, whatever that means. Nokia acquired Symbian in 2008, and rather than attracting developers, the foundation has seen pretty much everyone but Nokia abandon the platform, although it is the world's most popular platform still.
Symbian...
Yay.
Zscaler researchers have a new defense against FireSheep, Firefox plugin that can steal your cookie data.
Give me back my cookie data.
It's called Black Sheep, and it serves as a countermeasure by monitoring traffic and then alerting users if it sees FireSheep active on a network. Black Sheep drops fake session ID information and then monitors traffic to see if it's been hijacked.
It lets you know after the fact.
It lets you know it's happening. It doesn't actually stop it. Yeah.
Come on, people. Use a tunnel already.
Or HTTPS everywhere.
Please
at
do.
The very least.
Yeah, check out the EFF. They got
tools. Just stay
for
at home. Never leave.
Don't get on the internet.
Get offline.
No.
Nothing safe.
No, no. Anyway, Engadget's reporting that the Israeli Defense Forces will be moving forward with a plan to light up a new cellular network that will blast out SMS alerts to citizens if and when it detects a missile fired in the direction of Israel. Yeah, just over $7 million will be invested, and the application itself is being jointly designed by eVigilo and Ericsson. Alert, alert! Duck.
Hold on,
cover.
I got a text.
Warning.
Duck.
Yes.
Only 13% of total day viewing on cable and 19% of viewing on broadcast television is true HD, the audience measurement company Nielsen said. That means despite the billions of dollars that was spent buying HD sets, more than 80% of television viewing is still standard definition for everyone.
So says Nielsen. My
gosh. What
do
they know?
They don't know nothing.
They didn't ask me.
There are rating systems.
Statistically weighted sample.
Yeah.
Of 5,000 homes.
I can't believe Nielsen ratings are still the way that we.
Anytime Nielsen says anything, it doesn't matter what they say. Everyone goes, "What is the ratings?
We don't know.
I hate ratings.
I don't know one Nielsen household. Not one.
How come they canceled Undercovers? I hate Nielsen. Matlock. Do next, Derek.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. We're switching it up. That's right. So check this out. Toshiba announced that this new small form factor solid-state drives, you know, the ones in the new Apple MacBook Air? Well, they're available now as a new product called the Blade X-Glade SSD series. So, you know, not only does this mean that if you're an existing MacBook Air owner, you could go ahead and upgrade your drive, it also means that other manufacturers could take advantage of these and make some slick-looking thin laptops using these drives that look more like sticks of RAM than hard drives.
Yeah, they're pretty cool-looking hard drives. I like them. Why should a solid-state drive look like a magnetic hard drive anyway?
Why, indeed.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
So, what's that? You say that you don't have your own app store? Oh,
no.
Whatever. God, you're such a loser. Because everybody's getting in on the app store these days. In fact, even HTC is hiring staff to prepare for the possible launch of an online store that would sell ebooks and applications, according to two people the Financial Times talked to. So if you're an appless person or company or phone maker, you're pretty much lame book.
Yeah, lame book. Mm-hmm. Mm. Get an app store. Call me back later
about that one.
Jeez. Queen of England has an app store, I bet. Probably.
Well, you know what she does have?
A Facebook page.
Which means she also has a Facebook profile.
Oh.
Somewhere, because you need a profile to get a page.
Oh, right, because as it is right now, you can't poke her. I mean, I know you're just dying to poke the queen, but you could just like her.
The queen's consort.
Yeah.
Or her son, maybe.
I don't know.
Don't do that!
British Monarchy's Facebook page has 123,483 likes as of this moment. But that's all you can do. You can only like it.
You just like it. You can't actually really interact. Well, you could interact if they were interacting back.
The Duke of York attends a service for remembrance in St. Anne's Cathedral, Belfast, 7 November 2010, is the latest news.
That's the kind of updates on the Queen's page?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this stacks up again with the British Royal Family's YouTube channel. And they're on Twitter as well.
Right.
Yeah, at British Monarchy.
They're having some fun with the socials.
The British Monarchy, albeit the Queen, is pretty socially like the Pope. You know, they keep up on this stuff.
Yeah.
They think it's
important.
You got
to do it. Can't get left behind.
Hey, Sarah, what's on the calendar?
Well, Call of Duty Black Ops goes on sale at midnight tonight, which technically means tomorrow.
Actually, I'm not that excited, but I know people are.
Yeah. Although some Tom may have, you know, like fallen off a truck or something.
Because I heard
apparently
that.
Armed robbers stole 100 copies from a video game store in Maryland.
It sounds like when you read the article that they went into the video game store to rob the cash register and then saw the boxes of Call of Duty and we're taking those too.
Look, dude.
Yeah.
Check out what's back here.
100 copies. How fun. Motorola Droid Pro is officially on Verizon. It's $179.99 after a rebate, and pre-sales begin tomorrow, November 9th.
So get your 320 by 480 screen on.
It's been confirmed that the ZTE Peel is launching on Sprint November 14th. This is, of course, the peel is a little bit misleading because you think of things peeling off.
Yeah, right.
Kind of peels onto an iPod.
This is really more of a cover.
Yeah.
Or a jacket.
$79.99 and a $30 month-to-month plan will get you 3G. So
it's kind of cool if all you have is an iPod Touch and you're like, I don't really want to spend the money to replace it, but I want to get data everywhere and not have to rely on Wi-Fi.
It's kind of the best of both worlds,
it's
really.
It's pretty cool. Yeah,
if you've already got one.
After the fact upgrade.
Then you can jailbreak the iPod Touch and turn it into a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Ooh.
If you're excited about the Nokia E7, it will be available on December 10th. Yeah, run thereabouts.
Delivered and available.
Available.
See? That's what
I made up a good word. Samsung Mobile Android announcement is going on right now. Do we know what they've announced yet?
The Continuum? On Twitter earlier, they announced that the Continuum would be coming, November something?
So that's the dual display Android handset. You've been excited about that. It's coming to Verizon.
Yeah, I like it because it's got that second display that you can do stuff with without really like going and using the battery a bunch. So.
Okay, so that's what we think anyway. And then also we want to remind you guys that we need your submissions to help us pick the best of moments of Twit, and especially TNT. So you just go to twit.tv/best of. And how do you submit the videos themselves? How are we asking people to? From this show, for example, if there was a funny moment.
Yeah, you go to this link and then you find the time code, right, Jason?
Yeah, it's just a simple form, show name, episode number, time code in there. These are things that are required. So a little explanation as far as like what we'd be looking for.
So if 13 minutes in during this show, if there was a really funny moment, then you would say it was this show, it was episode whatever this episode is. Yeah.
And you might actually, one thing I was thinking of is it might be easier for people to find these things through YouTube because it has the built-in flash player and, you know, you can kind of skip through it quickly instead of downloading the whole thing. I'm not really quite sure, but
remember.
Anyways, that might be a quick way to look up some moments.
Yeah, and if you do the YouTube thing, just on the end of the URL, put #T equals M.
Oh, yeah. Right.
M, the number of minutes,
and then
S,
we jump
the number
right
of seconds.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
A lot to remember, but hey, that'd be awesome too.
Anything that helps us put that together is much appreciated. Thank you very much for your support. On to the emails, tnt@twit.tv. We don't have any voicemails today. We did get a few, but some of them were a little long. So we just ask you, please call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave us a voicemail with your comments, but you got to keep them concise, you know, keep them cohesive. Otherwise, we love hearing from you, but we can't play them on the show because it's too long.
Yeah, write a bullet point or two before you call.
On to the email. You got the first one there, DK.
All right. Hey, guys. Just thought you might find the following story about the BBC iPlayer probably dropping region restrictions in 2011 interesting. On the $10 figure seems a little bunk inserted by the paper, but it isn't sourced, and it would be prohibitively expensive for the top shows. But otherwise, looks like good news if all round it happens to, I'm losing my where. Anyway, basically, sounds exciting.
BBC iPlayer around the world, love that.
Yes,
would love to have that. $10 a month, maybe.
Not per episode.
I think the Telegraph has got something wrong there because nobody is in their right mind would charge you $10 for one episode.
Oh, I'd totally pay $10 a month though.
They would if they thought you'd buy it.
They're not in the right mind because I won't. On to an email from someone who didn't sign it in the main area, so I forgot to put their name over, and I apologize. Hey, Tech News Today host, I was reading up about getting local television stations on the internet, and a company that is trying out getting local stations to try out their hardware and software so that people in the locations can view their TV stations on the web where advertisers can peddle their wares. And he's got a link to something called SyncBack, which is backed by the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and the CEA, the Consumer Electronics Association. What it does is it checks your antenna to see if you receive the channel over the air, and then that authenticates you to receive the stream over the internet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be great if you're like...
You already have an antenna that could receive it over the air. Why do I need...
Because you're already...
To put it over the internet at all.
I don't know.
I need it over the internet if I'm in a place where I can't get it over the air.
Well, what if you're at the coffee shop and they don't have a TV?
I guess that would come up. Then I have an antenna. I have to have an antenna in order to authenticate it.
Oh, I see. So if you can't even get far away from your antenna.
I could just receive the program.
What if you want to watch it in your bathroom?
Now, there you go. That could be a use of it.
There's some bathroom viewing.
If it says, okay, on your antenna in your living room, we verified you. So now you can watch the stream in any room in the house.
Right. Or maybe you just verify once and then you're good forever, not every time you want to watch.
Oh, to create an account.
Yeah,
or
you go over to your friend's
house. No, they're not going to do that because the whole point of this, which I think is backwards, is we don't want anyone outside of our viewing area seeing our broadcast because that's
bad.
Because we're a local station and, you know, local news, and it's
highest demand ever.
It's not the local news. It's the problem. It's the syndication agreements, right? Yeah. If they're showing a movie or Major League Baseball, they aren't authorized to broadcast it outside of the area. So they're under these false restrictions of geography, and they have to come up with these, like, duct tape like ways of trying to fit into the current licensing agreement.
They just have to show to their, you know, to the licensees that they're doing every best effort to maintain control.
Well, the licensees are like, no, you can't. If we see one person outside of the approved DMA, then done. You've violated the license. It's no tolerance. It's ridiculous.
All right, next email. Todd from Davis sent this one in. He says, hi, TNT. This really isn't a best of, but one thing I've always found enjoyable about the show is the people dancing to the rollout music at the end of the show. In addition to putting together some of these scenes, you should solicit your listeners to submit videos of themselves dancing to the TNT theme music and put some of those videos together. First of all, who dances besides me at the end of the show?
Yeah,
because I know it's not
no
you.
No one dances at the
Tom
end of
just
the...
sits there
I look,
in stony
the chat
silence.
Room. I look like I'm sitting in stony silence. Oh, I know.
I love the idea of seeing our viewers and our listeners jamming.
You know, it'd be better. Is it like everybody submits them and then we could judge them? We could have a chair dance off? Because it has to be in your desk chair while you're doing this, right?
Oh, yeah.
TNT's best dance crew.
Yeah. It's a chair dance off. Do that.
The Clown Killers from Oakland in the house. All right. I like this idea. Post up your videos and send us the links. We'll figure out something to do with them.
Totally.
We may have
to
outsource the editing of the montage together. We'll see.
We'll figure something out. But Aaron, yeah, sure.
As always, good to have you on Mondays.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good to have all of you. With Sarah, Jason.
Oh, and, wow, thanks.
And you,
good
Patterson.
Good to be here with all of you, gentlemen.
And Reverb Mike and Hartwell and Jeannie.
I see Hartwell and Stephen 3X and Torrent Fiend and Fred Flintstone and Strike It Rich.
Unlike Romper Room, you actually do see them.
Right here in the chat room.
You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. That's got a link to the wiki with all our show notes. You can give us a call, like I said. Keep it kind of short, 260-TNT-SHOW. Please call, though. And you can send us an email with a link to your video or just an email to TNT@twit.tv. We'll see you tomorrow. And Becky will be back. Woo!
Dance.